live, on air, online, and on the Highland Radio app. This is Highland Radio News.
It's 5 o'clock. This is the evening news on Highland Radio with Donal Kavanagh. In this bulletin, there has been an increase in the number of people seeking homelessness services in the Northwest. We'll have the local figures. There has been another twist in the ongoing discussion on a surgical hub for the Northwest after Minister Marion Harkin reveals that, as far as she's concerned, the surgical hub in Sligo is part of the programme for government. We'll hear the Minister's comments and political reaction. And a County Tyrone man will spend at least 24 years behind bars for the murder of a man whose dismembered remains were recovered from a reservoir in the county. Later in the bulletin, Mark's here with sports news. That's coming up at around 5:15 this evening. But we begin with homelessness figures, which have been published this afternoon by the Department of Housing. And there's been an increase in the number of people seeking services in the Northwest. According to the figures, there were 170 adults accessing emergency accommodation in the last week of May, compared to 156 in April. That's a Northwest increase of 9%. In Donegal, the figure was 56, a rise of 2. The number of families homeless in the Northwest at the end of May was 22, that's up to, with 50 child dependents, that's an increase of 3. Nationally, the number of people accessing emergency accommodation is now 15,747. That's another record high. Well, the Sinn Féin housing spokesperson Eoin Óibrín says at this point, Housing Minister James Brown's position is untenable.
Let's be very clear, this government's position isn't tenable. Micheál Martin has been formally in government since 2020. He's been in confidence and supply since 2016. And during that period, the increase in homelessness has been at a level I don't think any of us could have ever imagined. The problem is the people I represent who are in emergency accommodation, risk of emergency accommodation, can't find affordable homes. They can't wait till the next election.
There's been another twist in the ongoing debate on the location of a surgical hub in the Northwest. Today, on Highland Radio's 9 till noon show, Minister Marion Harkin revealed she was part of a group of independents that pushed for Sligo in the discussions on the formation of a government. She told Greg Hughes that it was always in the HSE's business plan for Sligo to be used rather than Letterkenny. The Sligo lead from South Donegal TD believes the government should allow for two surgical hubs north of the Dublin-Galway line, but she said on today's 9 till noon show that she is standing over her decision to prioritise Sligo.
I was one of the people representing independents, one of the three who helped negotiate that programme for government. And one of the things I was insistent on was that we had what then was in the HSE business plan described as a surgical hub for Sligo. And I still support that fully.
When you say that you got a commitment in the programme for government for a surgical hub for the Northwest, was the commitment you received specific to Sligo or was it for the Northwest generally?
At that point, if you go to the HSE business plan, it was described as a surgical hub for Sligo. It was already there in the HSE business plan. And that is what I pushed for because I believe it will serve most of the Northwest. I believe, actually, the government should be looking at two such hubs north of that Dublin line. But for now, what we managed to get into the programme for government and what's being discussed at the moment is the surgical hub in Sligo. There are very serious needs in Letterkenny. But I think perhaps top of those is the need for additional beds, first of all. Secondly, an ambulatory cancer centre and, of course, also some kind of minor injuries unit to take pressure off A&E.
Well, that was Minister Marion Harkin speaking on today's 9 till noon show. Now, 100% redress Deputy Charles Ward has disputed Minister Harkin's claims, saying when he raised the issue with Minister Jennifer Carl McNeill in the Dáil this week, she clearly stated that no final decision had been made on the location of a hub. The Donegal Deputy disagrees with Minister Harkin's view that the programme for government commits to a surgical hub in Sligo. He says the document clearly states the government will explore the provision of an additional surgical hub for the Northwest. And he says there is no mention of a specific location in the programme. Well, Donegal Deputy Padraig McLaughlin also spoke to Greg on today's 9 till noon show. He says Minister Harkin's revelation raises very serious questions for government in terms of what local deals were done. He wants them published and clarified.
There was a fear and a suspicion that the Michael Lowry independence deal, Marian Harkin is part of that group, included local deals. Of course, none of this has been published. We've repeatedly asked for the Lowry deal to be published, including all the local deals, and it hasn't been. But she has stated, Marian Harkin, today, that she ensured that in the programme for government, a surgical hub for Sligo was included. Now, I find that remarkable. You've had the Minister for Health on your show, and you've had Tony Canavan on your show, and none of them stated that there's a deal done with the Lowry group of independents on a surgical hub, and that's just the way it's going to be. None of them said that.
And there's a lot more on that story, including more clips from the 9 till noon show on our website, highlandradio.com. You can also, of course, look back and watch today's 9 till noon show on our Facebook pages and also our YouTube channel, Highland Radio Ireland. The 9 till noon show in its entirety is also podcast on our webpage as well. A County Tyrone man will spend at least 24 years behind bars for the murder of a man whose dismembered remains were recovered from a reservoir. Damien Hegney was last seen alive in 2021. 41-year-old Stephen McCord from Riverview in Ochre, County Tyrone, was found guilty of his murder in April. Hannah Patterson was at Belfast Crown Court today.
Damien Hegney's partially dismembered remains were recovered from Kappa Reservoir in County Tyrone in August 2022. The court heard Stephen McCourt's actions were vicious and callous to the extreme. Detective Superintendent Rachel Wilson's been reading a statement from Mr. Hegney's family outside of court.
It's actually impossible to stop thinking about what happened to Damien. We go over it again and again and it haunts us. Yet amongst the torment, we've each taken comfort from the genuine kindness and support shown by others.
Justice Stephen Fowler says today's sentence reflects the high culpability case.
Staying in the north, and police say a young family in County Armagh have been left shocked and shaken after a pipe bomb attack on their home. It was after it was thrown at the front door of the property in Mullabone at around 12:30 last night. Substantial damage was caused to windows and an outdoor railing. St Patrick's National School in Dobeg Fanad closed for the last time today. It's one of eight rural schools which have ceased teaching across the country. With more, here's Barry White.
The eight primary schools that closed permanently today are in Counties Kerry, Wexford, Louth, Galway, Donegal and Tipperary. They have a total of only 19 pupils between them, with some of them having more staff than students. Six of the schools that closed today had two students or less. Today's closures mean there are now just over 30 schools across the country with between 3 and 12 students, the majority of them in rural areas in the west of Ireland. And there are fears that more schools could shut their doors in the coming years.
The Taoiseach says Ireland must be able to properly monitor its seas and skies. It comes as the government has signed up to a new cross-border EU scheme to procure defence hardware following Russia's invasion of Ukraine. It's raised questions about Ireland's neutrality if it's buying military hardware with the rest of Europe. Well, Taoiseach and Defence Minister Simon Harris says Ireland can't ignore global events.
Being militarily neutral is not the same thing as saying you don't take defence and security seriously. We're standing here, I'm looking out at the sea. We have vast seas around our country. In fact, the amount of sea we have responsibility for is a lot larger than our landmass. And of course, we have skies above our country, and we need to be able to keep people safe. We need to have a better understanding of what happens in our skies and what happens below our seas.
However, claims of a Russian threat to Ireland have been described as a red herring by the Irish anti-war movement. The groups criticised the government for entering into the deal. Mark Price from the Irish anti-war movement believes some of the alleged threats are made up.
The greatest red herring of all time. We have perennial stories or monthly stories about Russian ships appearing over the horizon, nearly all of them escaping from bad weather on the high seas. The idea that Russia is a threat to Ireland is a complete red herring, a complete bogeyman. And the idea that people would be buying this, intelligent adults would be buying this story. Why would Russia be attacking Ireland?
Donegal County Council has launched Phase 2 of Buncrana's Nighttime Economy Grant Scheme. After the first round of funding in October of last year, the scheme is inviting businesses, community groups, artists, musicians, performers and individuals to bring fresh ideas forward for the town's nighttime offering. Buncrana is one of nine towns across the country where this model is being piloted. Grants of up to €1,000 are available for a variety of events. Sophie Gallagher is Buncrana's Nighttime Economy Advisor.
Last October we launched the fund, Buncrana by Night Fund, and we were inundated with applications for a whole range of ideas. Things like sunset, heritage walk, haunted houses, pumpkin patches, bar entertainment, a whole range of events that enhanced everything that happened in Moncrana after 6 p.m. We're actively developing and finalising an action plan for the town that will have key actions that will develop with the 19 Economy Committee made up of stakeholders in the town. This fund is a real chance for people to activate those ideas and build on what is already a really busy, bustling town after dark, but we could only enhance it and make things better. I think Moncrana is really having a moment. There's always stuff happening. People are very proactive. I think after COVID, it's much needed. People want to get out of the house. They want a diverse range of things to do. And whilst the bars and restaurants are the backbone of the nighttime economy in small towns, we're hopefully going to build on that and make sure there's something for everybody in all ages.
And finally, Sophie, in terms of the launch of the fund, how can people apply for it? What do you need people to do in order to get involved in this?
Across Donegal County Council's social media channels, there'll be links to more information. You can send me a direct email to sophiegallagher@donegalcoco.ie for an application pack. And just keep an eye on your socials. There's plenty of information out there about it. And we look forward to receiving all the applications. They close on the 8th of July.
And there's more details regarding the scheme and how to apply on our website, highlandradio.com. The first report's been published by the Just Transition Committee. It's urging government to ensure that as Ireland moves toward a carbon neutral society, the changes do not impact unfairly on any groups in society. Donegal-based Michelle Murphy, a research and policy analyst with Social Justice Ireland, is part of the 11-member commission. She says the aim is to keep the people and places we care about safe from the effects of climate change. But she says the transition must be achieved in a way that leaves no one behind.
Pillars that government has agreed of Just Transition are that it's evidence-based, that people have the right skills to adapt to a changing labour market, that the impact is fair, it's equitable, and that existing inequalities aren't made worse. Government should talk to people and communities and listen to them as we begin to make the changes that we do need to make. We've been quite slow at implementing some of the policies, but we have to make sure that those policies are fair, that, you know, you take account of different groups, for example, rural communities, older people living alone, people with disabilities. It's not just about who maybe is going to be most impacted by a broader economic policy. It's about people's lived experience and people's lives, and how do you make sure that people's lives improve, and how do you make sure that what you're doing as a government doesn't actually have a negative impact.
Now, you sit on the Just Transition Commission as a representative of Social Justice Ireland. You're there to bring that perspective to the table. Obviously, there are others there bringing the perspective of business, bringing the perspective of other interest groups. Do you believe that as a collective, you've got the balance right?
Yes, everybody on the commission is there to provide that different perspective and different voice. And I suppose my role is to provide that, I suppose, community and voluntary perspective. What's often the case is that people have more in common than they do have in terms of difference. And I think when it comes to dialogue and talking, like, every person on the commission, every commissioner knows that change needs to happen and change is coming, and we are all committed to making sure it's fair.
And that was Michelle Murphy there, Donegal-based member of the Just Transition Commission. The operators of the M1 toll plaza near Drogheda in County Louth are urging people travelling to Croke Park for tomorrow's All-Ireland Senior Football quarterfinals to travel as early as possible and try to ensure they either have the correct change for the toll booths or have a card or phone handy to make an electronic payment. Northlink say with traffic from Donegal, Monaghan and Tyrone all heading through the toll plaza for two games tomorrow, they're expecting huge amounts of traffic on the M1, and they say any delays at the toll could cause traffic to back up very quickly. Last year, when a similar situation pertained, tailbacks of up to 8 kilometres were reported.
Highland Sports is brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure, now stocking a full range of Donegal jerseys and leisure wear at michaelmurphysports.ie.
17 minutes past five. Good evening, Mark Gallagher.
Thanks, Donal. Good evening. We'll start with soccer. Everton captain Seamus Coleman has signed a one-year contract extension with the club. The Killybegs man will extend his Toffees career to a 17th season, having initially moved to Merseyside from Sligo Rovers in 2009 for £60,000. Coleman holds the Everton club record for the most Premier League appearances with 369 and will now get the chance to wear the armband at the new Hill Dickinson Stadium next season. There's a full round of games in both divisions of the SSE Airtricity League this evening. In the first division, Finn Harps will be looking to build on Monday's win over league leaders Dundalk as they travel to Limerick to face Treaty United. Harps are second from bottom of the league standings and are 7 points outside of the promotion playoff spots, but former Harps man Joe Boyle says a win tonight could be key in moving up the table.
What I would take out of the last two matches, which I think is really positive, and I think Kevin will be looking to build on as well, is they've had two clean sheets. So for me, that's very, very important. The column that does concern me is the goals for, but the goals against stands up at most of the teams in the league, apart from Dundalk and Cove, who are way ahead of everybody else. But, you know, they've not been conceding too many goals. And, you know, they could just score one or two more, then they'd definitely be turning those draws. And when you look at the table as well, Dundalk and Cove are well ahead of everybody else. But from Bray down, everybody, I think, is in with a chance at the minute of heading into the last series of games, into that second half of the season, with getting a chance in the playoffs. And I do think if Hearts could get something down in Treaty this weekend, then they'd be in a great position to start climbing the table.
Kickoff is at 7:45 and there'll be live updates here on Highland with Michael Cook. Elsewhere in the First Division, Dundalk play Cove Ramblers, Athlone at home to Bray and Wexford welcome Kerry. In the Premier Division, Derry City will look to make it three wins in a row when they play third place Drogheda United at the Ryan McBride Brandywell. The Candy Stripes are up to fourth after their impressive away wins over Shelburne and St Pat's recently. In other Premier Division games, leaders Shamrock Rovers host Waterford and Talla. Shelburne play their first game since Damien Duff's departure away to Galway United. St Pat's go to Bottomside Cork and Sligo are in the capital to face Bohemians. Former Republic of Ireland international Keith Andrews has been appointed as Brentford's new head coach on a 3-year deal. He steps up from his role as set-piece coach following Thomas Frank's departure to Tottenham. Meanwhile, Ruud van Nistelrooy's time in charge of Leicester City has come to an end via mutual consent after the Foxes were relegated from the Premier League. Moving on to Gaelic games, Jim McGuinness has named his Donegal team to face Monaghan in tomorrow's All-Ireland quarter-final clash at Croke Park. There's one change from the team that started against Louth, as Dara O'Boyle has been named in place of Keelan McColgan. O'Boyle was also named to start last week's prelim in Balbuffet, but was replaced by McColgan before throw-in. It is an otherwise unchanged 15. Well, Donegal will look to make it two wins from two against the Farney County this year. The previous fixture was an Ulster quarter-final in Clonus, with Jim McGuinness's side edging a 23 points to 21 win on their way to claiming back-to-back provincial titles. Since then, Monaghan haven't put a foot wrong. Wins against Louth, Clare and Down saw Seamus McEnany's team top Group 3 of the All-Ireland Series and progress straight through to the All-Ireland quarter-finals. But 2012 All-Ireland winner Frank McGlynn isn't sure if they've been operating at the same level as Donegal.
I suppose you would point to the group that Monaghan were in, you know, playing Louth, playing Clare, you know, and then playing Down on their last game. You don't know, is that standard as high as what Donegal would have been playing when you take Tyrone, Mayo into consideration, the games that Donegal have had. So it's going to be interesting to see as to what level Monaghan are at after having that 2-week break. But I do know they'll be approaching the game with a lot of confidence. You know, when Monaghan get to Croke Park, they generally do themselves justice and perform very well.
There is a 4 o'clock throw-in at Croke Park tomorrow and we'll have live match commentary here in Highland with Oisin Kelly, Brendan Devaney and Brendan Kilcoyne. Tyrone have also announced their team to take on Dublin in tomorrow's other quarter-final. In the only change from their win against Cavan a fortnight ago, Mark Bradley has been named in the starting lineup as Michael McKernan misses out due to a shoulder injury. Dublin captain Conor Callaghan has been named on the bench as he is still struggling with a hamstring issue. That game is at 6:15 and follows Donegal's game against Monaghan at GAA headquarters. There are quite a few GAA fixtures locally this evening. The Donegal Senior Hurling Championship continues with Buncrana playing host to Inishowen neighbours Carindonagh. It's St Union's against Burt and Sean McCool's play Setanta. All those games got underway at 7:30, while there are also a number of games in the Intermediate and Junior Hurling Championship. In the football, there's action in the Donegal All County Leagues tonight. Fannad Gaels welcome Niamh Padraig Iscahane of Muff in Division 2. Pettigo play Niamh Alton in Division 3. And in Division 4, it's Glen Swilly against St Union's, Niamh Connell up against Gaedore and Glen Finn play Termon. It has been a brilliant day for Irish motorsport as Offaly teenager Alex Dunn set the fourth fastest time in the opening practice session for the Austrian Grand Prix, behind only George Russell, Max Verstappen and Oscar Piastri. Dunn was standing in for Lando Norris for McLaren and has become the first Irish driver to take part in a Formula One weekend since 2003. Finally, in golf, Leona Maguire and Jennifer Kupcho have moved into a one-shot lead on day two of the Dow Championship in Michigan. They're now 10 under overall and 7 under for the day through 11 holes. Padraig Harrington is now in sole possession of the lead on day two of the US Senior Open. The Dubliner is 3-under for the day through four holes and is now 6-under overall, giving him a three-shot advantage over Mark Hensby in second. That's all your sports news for today, but don't forget to tune in for regular updates from the Finn Harps game in Limerick from 7:45. Donal.
Thank you very much indeed, Mark. Notes with Colm Ferrier on the way very shortly. First, though, the Northern Ireland Assembly has heard the failure of the A5 to proceed was not a matter of bad luck, but the outcome of system failure on the part of the Department for Infrastructure and the Northern Ireland Executive. Foyle MLA Sinead McLaughlin said the department took shortcuts, and that's been made clear in the ruling delivered earlier this week by Mr Justice McAlinden in the Belfast High Court. She told MLAs the Executive and the department must immediately address the issues raised.
What we have witnessed with A5 is nothing short of government failure. 18 years since the executive first gave the scheme the green light, and still not an inch of road delivered. The delays are not down to bad luck. They are the result of systematic failure by the department and by this executive to deliver critical infrastructure. Time and time again, legal challenges have succeeded because the department did not do its job properly, because the statutory processes were mishandled, because climate responsibilities were ignored, because the basics, the absolute basics, were not done right. The judge was clear that it was as a result of a series of shortcomings and shortcuts by the department. This is not just a technical failure. It is a failure that has cost lives. Families were promised action. Those promises have been broken, and while we delay, communities in the North West suffer the consequences. The A5 is a lifeline for safety, for the regional growth and for all island connectivity. Let's be clear, if this road ran through Belfast, it would have been built years ago.
Agus anois an nocht, a léamh ag Colm Ferrier.
Jim Ritash of Colm Ferrier and Shaw. Hula chakti dala agus shanadori o farchiha an realtish agus on frasuda more kestina pranyaha nengel geliga agus negeltukta jikedinye eganokaj vliantil shas ta shas la avkoja na ngel a agru go bliantil a conra negeliga conjasha horch the fobal negeliga agus negeltukta kestina muiniha policyha agus takiakta donchanga a flay one actual August Nashunta. A mask na nailav a koru conkin egg shas vi his a kuigna. Mwenu ki a horch da kogri changa gus geliga. Kashtana a winin la tihiacht segeltacht. August plano lagus farbirch policy don geliga in arnyola nijahish. Major la rachis na rinya kultur ha commerce agus sports ta dreacht. Rachis strategia don trevsha tribliona ager fihe fius a kuigo gus fihe fius a hocht a olvu fui lahar. Sa rachis strategia lactar mas brekana agus cospori na runya ata tavokta lahai an mishun a chahadu don trevsha van herma ata la chart. Mar chodj den froses chen an run igorlia la parchi hil laswara a glorig turumi majula kestin a stratisha atala brathnu conan rachis stratisha olvu curter falter of einyakti guji and sholo refushed strategy eg ccs bunk gov bunk ae augusta gaholis vrisha er foil egg and sieve narunya branu trophy her forest nigeliga augustush an ara don de chodj kuig milijig euro ur chosht of farber her current hoher a hanek sekedach ego mortis glornigel fi hifi his a kahar ego okaj vronta jehinia ifa ni hasaja of ego oiga an grupa a wali an trophy ur son fobol current hoher bronu dush an a ele ur an la a darna at saranog takiokti pobol agus folonia de chosht of farber her krok folla Claire ni Kramshi Awali and Dusher Son and Grupa, August and K that Saranag Lorch Negeliga Don Leonra Letcher Kennan, Ashley Niki Awali and Dush or Son and Grupa Shin. Shin Mahod Shelley Gulier Slanagus Barrett.
Gulamahagus Kalum, August Anish, and I'm sure. Staying humid and breezy this evening and tonight, with further rain and drizzle in lowest overnight temperatures of 14 to 17 degrees Celsius, moderate to fresh southwest winds. Tomorrow Saturday starting mostly cloudy, patchy rain, but it will brighten up from the north through the morning. Sunny spells in the afternoon, highs of 18 to 21 in moderate southwest winds. The main stories in brief: there has been an increase in the number of people seeking homeless services in the northwest. 170 adults accessing emergency accommodation. Of those, 56 were in Donegal, 22 families homeless in the region, according to the figures, with 50 child dependents. Minister Marian Harkin has revealed she was part of a group of independents that pushed for Sligo University Hospital to be used as the main surgical hub in the northwest. On today's 9 till noon show, she told Greg Hughes that after discussions in the formation of a government, the Sligo designation was included in the programme for government. However, that's been disputed by Deputy Charles Ward, who says when he raised the issue with Minister Jennifer Carl McNeill, she clearly stated no final decision had been made. He also says the wording of the programme for government states the government will explore the provision of an additional surgical hub for the northwest. Location is not mentioned. We're back with news headlines at 6. Check all today's news on our website, patentradio.com. But for now, from the news team, good evening. The obituary notices for this Friday evening, the 27th of June. The death has taken place of John Gibson, Sallywood, Killigordon, formerly of Sandy Mills, Ballandrate. Reposing at Quigley's Funeral Home, Strabane, tomorrow from 7 p.m. to 8 p.m. Funeral from there on Sunday morning at 11:45 for funeral mass in St. Patrick's Church, Murlock, Lifford at 12:15. Interment afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. The Requiem Mass can be viewed live via the parish webcam. The death has taken place of John Doherty, Ranny Kerry Keel, reposing at his home from 2 o'clock tomorrow afternoon. Requiem Mass on Monday morning at 11 in Our Lady of Lourdes Church, Kerry Keel, followed by burial in Rathmullen Cemetery. Family time, please, from 10 p.m. to 10 a.m. and on the morning of the funeral. Family flowers only, please. Donations, if desired, to the Donegal Hospice, care of any family member. The death has occurred of Brenda Mary Bonner, née O'Loughlin, Callancore, Drumkeen. Her remains will repose at her late residence today until 10 o'clock and again tomorrow Saturday from 2 o'clock until 10 o'clock. House private, please, before the funeral, with Rosary nightly at 9. Requiem Mass will take place in St. Patrick's Church, Drumkeen, on Sunday morning at 11, with burial afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu of desired to the Donegal Hospice, care of any family member or Marley Funeral Directors. The death has taken place of Daniel Doherty, Denny Paddy Owen, 19, Gaddy Duff, Clonmany, formerly of Urismana, Clonmany. Denny's remains will repose at his home from 6 o'clock this evening. Funeral from there on Monday morning at 10:30, going to St. Mary's Church, Clonmany, for 11 o'clock Requiem Mass, with burial afterwards in the new cemetery. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu of desire to Letterkenny University Hospital Outpatients Department. The funeral mass can be viewed on churchservices.tv. The death has taken place of Josie Conaghan, 13 Derryvay Avenue, Letterkenny. His remains are reposing at his late residence. Family time only, please, from 11 o'clock tonight and before the funeral. The funeral mass will take place tomorrow at 12 noon in St. Eunan's Cathedral, Letterkenny, followed by burial in Leck Cemetery. The Requiem Mass can be viewed on churchservices.tv. The death has occurred of Patrick Porrick Jackie O'Donnell, Pole Road, Meanmore, Dunlow, late of Letchamica Ward and Plahogue, Aaron Moore. As it was Porrick's wish for his remains to be donated to Galway University Hospital for medical research, there will be no service or committal. And the death has taken place of David Gailey Bowl, formerly of Coolboy, Letterkenny. David will be resting at Terence McLintock's funeral home in Ballybow until 8 o'clock this evening. A service of thanksgiving for his life will be held tomorrow afternoon at 3 o'clock in Trinity Presbyterian Church, Main Street, Letterkenny, followed by committal in Gortley Cemetery. For family information and more details regarding wakes and funerals, please go to highlandradio.com.